always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I see individuals on a subway being terrorized by individuals in masks. It's a cause for great concern. We have images of people with masks that almost cover up their entire face. It's impossible to find these perpetrators.
Mayor Adams is supporting the governor's possible ban, calling people who wear masks to harass subway riders and commit crimes cowards.
Oh, and our transit system. People have hid under the guise of wearing a mask for COVID to commit criminal acts and vile acts. And I think now is the time to go back to the way it was pre-COVID, where you should not be able to wear a mask at protests and our subway systems and other places.
Oh, how the worm turns. The irony is so rich and deep. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Happy Monday, 6/17/2024, 5:07 in the PM. Chris, isn't that rich coming from the people who literally terrorized us with threats of mask wearing and what would happen to us if we didn't? Now they want to ban masks because they say masks are terrorizing.
Yeah, it's always what's convenient for them at the time. When they think that just breathing on someone's going to kill them, we're during a pandemic, we have to wear masks, they save lives, you're stopping the spreading of the infection. Now that we don't have that and people are using them to commit crimes, all masks are horrible now, let's go back to the pre-pandemic times. That's part of the reason why people don't listen to these people, because they aren't consistent.
Yeah, and they never hardly make any sense. How about that, folks? The big headline coming out of New York City, masks kill. I think we can say that's what the headline is. I'm going to talk about that in today's Speaker Stump speech in a minute. And how about that? Joey somehow picked that clip out, and I didn't even tell him what I was going to talk about today. We've got like this synchronicity thing
going on. He did that for me on a couple of these clips. It was amazing.
Are you living in our heads rent-free?
No, you know, I just have that sixth sense of what clips seem the most interesting news of the day. And of course, I'm so quick on the draw that if you request something, I'll get it for you in 10 seconds.
Yes, he will. That's producer Joey V on the Wheels of Steel, Chris Harps, and I here in the studio today. You know, I want to make mention of something because it's very notable. Our station, I just noticed this, Chris, on our Facebook page, our station Facebook page, and we're on Facebook. We're on any we don't know what your favorite platform is, folks. So we try to be on all of them because we don't want to force you into anything. You do you. And so you join us on Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, ScrewTube, whatever you want to do. Join us on all of them. But on Facebook, just as an example, our station is not even quite 3 years old. We are not even a 3 year old. We'll be 3 years old, and we sometimes act like it. We'll be 3 years old in July, in mid July. Chris, we have 4,900 followers. We have 4,900 plus. I tried to look at how close this was to five, but it won't quite tell me. So we are somewhere between 4,900 and 5,000 followers. Let's get to 5,000 followers this week. How amazing is that for a station that did not exist less than 3 years ago, now has nearly 5,000 followers on Facebook alone.
And I think part of that growth has just been through word of mouth, people hearing about good, solid, conservative talk radio. You know, we did some outdoor advertising at the beginning of the station, some billboards and some other stuff, but really haven't done a lot the last year and a half, and we've had phenomenal growth. The station has grown well. We're adding thousands of listeners every month, and a part of that is just word of mouth. So we thank all of you for telling people that there is a new station that's number one for live and local conservative talk, and that is News Talk STL. Mm-hmm.
Come on, folks. Help us get to 5,000 followers on Facebook. I don't see any reason why we can't get there this week. Keep spreading the word about us. Keep sharing all of our posts. Join us. Join us in the conversation. This is not something where we just talk at you. Chris and I's show, it's 2 hours. It moves fast. We only have six segments, so we do try to take callers from time to time. But, you know, we love, we see you. We see you. Mm-hmm. You're out there. We respond to you. Joey's always chatting with you on Facebook and Rumble and some of our other feeds. Chris and I jump in a lot on Facebook as well during the show. If you hit us up on Twitter, we see you. We try to comment and like your posts, and we appreciate you being part of this. This is a mutual effort here. And I told you about the Saving America event, which is next Tuesday, next Thursday. Two big experiences next week. Next Thursday, debate watch party, Johnny's Hideout. I didn't mention that is sponsored by the Freedom Principle of Missouri, St. Louis Young Republicans, and Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. You do not need a ticket for that event. You need one for the Tuesday event at the St. Charles Funny Bone. You do not need one for the event in Jefferson County at Johnny's Hideout. Just come and watch Chris and I and Joey do the show, and then stick around. You know, Chris and I will be hanging out for a while. We'll have a burger and a beer with you and some crack fries, and then we'll be taking the little stage inside at 7:30 with our other personality hosts here and producers, and then we'll watch the debate at 8 o'clock.
You know, Tim, while you were speaking there, and of course I was paying attention to you, but I was also watching the television here, and Fox Business was showing the freeze-up clip of Joe Biden over the weekend at the L.A. fundraiser. And it started me thinking, you know, eventually Barack Obama, you know, grabs his arm and puts his arm around him. They're showing it again and walking him off the stage. And I'm wondering, is that scene right there, Tim, is that a negative or positive? On one end, it's looking like, hey, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, they've been through the trenches. They're old friends. They're old pals. President Obama has his arm around his shoulders, old friends, old pals. But in another sense, you look at that as he's helping an old, decrepit man off of the stage. And we know there's bad blood between the Obama and the Biden camps. And a lot of people think that Barack Obama is really the one that's running this White House. I wonder, was that a subliminal signal that he's sending out to people? It's like, yeah, everybody, this guy is old and doddering. I have to put my arm around him to basically keep him up while I walk him off the stage. I wonder, was that deliberate?
That was a pitiful scene.
It was.
And folks, if you don't know
what he's shuffling off the stage,
if you don't know what we're talking about, there's no AI involved in this at all. Go and look at Barack Obama helping Joe Biden off the stage. I'm sure you can find this clip very quickly and easily. Chris, as you just pointed out, Biden literally freezes and doesn't know what to do, or has completely gone off into la la land. And Barack like puts his arm on his shoulder like, come on, dad, come on, grandpa. We're going to go this way now. Walk carefully.
You know what's strange too, Tim? A lot of people have forgotten about this, but during the 2016, Hillary Clinton was having freeze up. There's a famous clip of her at the 2016 convention when all of the balloons and the lights and everything are going off, and she's next to the president Clinton. He's clapping and everything, and she just looks up at the balloons with her mouth wide open, looking like she's crazy. And a lot of people were wondering about, you know, because she had had that stroke or whatever incident it was, and did she have some brain malfunction? But have you ever seen that? It's the strangest.
She goes catatonic.
Yeah. It's strange.
It's weird. And it's the human brain, you know, not quite functioning properly. It happens. And, you know, it's pitiful, but I don't have pity for Joe Biden because he and his family are putting themselves through this. He should not be the leader of the free world right now. He should not have access to the nuclear codes. He should not be the guy who's our emissary to governments near and far. It's a disaster. Chris, when you see that clip of Barack Obama kind of gently helping Joe Biden off the stage, don't you wonder who is really running the White House? Is it the Obamatons? I mean, it probably, I guess.
Yeah, I have to be candid. I'm not concerned about Joe Biden having access to the nuclear codes and all that, because as we've both speculated, he's not running the country anyway. And if he did, through some dementia haze, order some strike on Russia or whatever, I don't think the generals or the civilian,
let's hope,
the civilian army or civilian defense department would follow that order. I don't think Joe Biden is running the White House. I think it's Jill Biden and Obama cabal that's running the White House. Biden is not.
Let's hope those redundant systems are firmly in place. That is for sure.
They were there though. But here's the thing about it, that you remember when Donald Trump was president, and it was during January 6th, and the generals were saying we were worried about the president. He was unstable. And remember, one of the generals called his Russian counterpart Yeah, and told right. them that we will not.
That's right.
We will not shoot off nuclear weapons, and if the president orders it, we're going to defy his order. So they have demonstrated that they can do that, but will they only do that with certain presidents?
The deep state is real. The deep state is real. That is for sure. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi last week wondering why the National Guard wasn't called out on her watch. Remember that? They had that little clip last week. Susie Moore, deputy managing editor at Red State, redstate.com, host of the More to the Point commentary. She's going to join us at 5:25. There's a ton of really excellent Red State stories today. We'll dissect and bisect those as well. Without further ado, though, that subject of New York City, can you believe how far we've come, folks? Not even, well, about 4 years post-COVID. Now the Democrats want to ban masks in New York City. My, how the worm has turned. The subject of today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So you almost wonder, did Mayor Adams and Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, go to the New York Times and ask him for cover on this? Because, come on, sometimes I'm a conspiracy theorist, and that's because all the conspiracies end up coming true. But I don't believe in these coincidences. So on the same weekend that we hear Hochul and Adams saying we need to end, did you ever think you would hear two nationally prominent Democrats say, we need the whole mask thing. Yeah, it's over. We need to get back to, Eric Adams said in that clip, we need to get back to how it was. That's what we were all saying. Because masks didn't work. We need to get back to the way it was. We can't be wearing masks anymore. Masks are meant to terrorize people. Did you ever think you'd hear Democrats saying masks are now terrorizing people? Well, in conjunction with that, and again, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in connections. We have this story from Just the News, justthenews.com, but it's based on a New York Times matter. Reaffirmed, masks make little to no difference. That is the statement that came out of 15-month scientific review. I wonder what Tony Fauci thinks about this. Prompted by a not New York Post, not Fox News, not even Wall Street Journal, New York Times columnist. What are we talking about here? Well, let's check this out. 15 months after caving to pro-mask public figures by applying a scarlet letter to its research questioning the effectiveness of masks against influenza, COVID-19, or any other airborne aerosolized viral contagion, on over the strident objections of its authors, who critics declared victory, a UK-based international research collaborative funded by American taxpayers has reached an anticlimactic conclusion. The collaborative, Cochrane, the Cochrane Review, Dr. Tobler knows about Cochrane, Dr. Onder does, we've talked about Cochrane Review, it's like kind of like a gold platinum standard, said it will not require the authors of physical interventions to interrupt or reduce the spread of respiratory viruses, an ongoing 18-year systematic review, last updated in January 2023, to revise the plain language summary and abstract, despite editor-in-chief Carla Soares Weiser claiming the study had been widely misinterpreted as masks don't work. The June update to Weiser's March 2023 statement, which itself may have violated the Committee on Publication Ethics Protocol by unilaterally changing the, quote, interpretation and conclusions of the authors, raises as many questions as it answers, particularly why the once, as I said, once celebrated gold standard of evidence-based medicine took so long to do nothing. The collaborative, the Cochrane Collaborative, simply cited the scientific debate happening in the comment section of the paper with a back and forth between commenters and corresponding author John Conley of the University of Calgary Medical School on behalf of the authors. Weiser posted her unilateral statement hours after New York Times columnist and Princeton sociologist, check out this name, Zeynep Tufekci, quoted her in the column, "Here's why the science is clear that masks work." The editor-in-chief criticized the study's initiator and lead, University of Oxford epidemiologist Tom Jefferson, not the president, for characterizing the findings in an interview as no evidence that masks make any difference, which Weiser called not accurate. YouTube continues to promote Weiser's view as of Friday, because of course they do. I got that highly consequential Cochrane misinterpretation corrected. Tufekci claimed on X, and thanked Cochran for correcting the record, even though the review's content didn't change. Then CDC director, remember Rochelle Walensky? Remember her? Then CDC director Rochelle Walensky falsely told a congressional committee the review had been redacted, a factual error the committee fixed in the hearing record. Tufekci told Just the News in the wake of the controversy she was not bullying or trying to discredit the authors by asking questions about other people's work, which is normal. She does not appear to have addressed the update on her nearly 500,000 plus follower X account. Long story short, and the article goes on for quite a while about the back and forth on this. As to this very long article, I'm trying to get to the end here. Here we go. Tufekci finally said was, my effort to help correct the misinterpretation remains valid and correct, as attested by multiple co-authors of the review, since my clarification was based on the actual review itself and not whether or not the summary is eventually updated to make it harder to misinterpret it. I have nothing to do with the process, which doesn't change the fact that my clarifications remained correct, valid, and supported by multiple co-authors of that very review. What Cochran ended up saying was, after their exhaustive study, was that masks made little to no difference. What happened was the scientific community of Fauciites, they rebelled against that and they said that it was being misinterpreted. It wasn't quite it. But let's make no mistake. The original Cochran review analysis was that masks made little to no difference during COVID-19. And now it almost seems like Governor Hochul and Mayor Eric Adams are agreeing to and proving that point. What other things were we lied about to? What other things? Look, COVID-19 was a horrible viral contagion that swept the globe. Instead of all the things that they focused on during COVID, like making us wear masks, making us Clorox our vegetables, not allowing us to be in school, shuttering all our businesses, maybe they should have been working on figuring out where the viral contagion came from, which at this point nobody still wants to admit, even though we all probably know it came from a lab in China funded by American taxpayer dollars. Maybe they should have been focused on that and focused on how they should have gotten us back to work and back to school instead of focusing on how much more government power and influence they could exert on people's lives. All that COVID crazy and destruction that occurred, and it probably never needed to happen to us in the first place. And that's the speaker's stump speech for today.
You know, one thing that I will never, ever, ever, never understand is people that wear masks on airplanes. Becky and I, on our trip to Chicago a couple of weeks ago, there was a young lady on the plane. You know how when these masks, the blue ones, when they get really, really worn and they get fuzzy?
Yes.
When they're old.
They're wearing out.
Yeah, they're wearing out. And she was wearing her mask very proudly, her very fuzzy mask that she's had for months and months and months, that's probably doing absolutely nothing. And we've reported on this. If you look up the air in a plane, it's probably the most freshest, safest air on the planet. It's regenerated hundreds of times a minute. You're not going to catch COVID in the air on an airplane.
Mm-hmm. It's become the status symbol, Chris, of the stupid. You know, it really has been. Give it up. And actually, the Democrats are now telling you to do so because they've decided masks are a symbol of terror. So there you have it. All right, it's 5:24 in the PM. When we come back, we're going to talk to Susie Moore of Red State. That and so much more straight ahead here on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Biden and Trump among black voters, compare where we were at this point in 2020, compare where we are now. You know, at this point, look at this. In 2020, Joe Biden was getting 86% of the African-American vote. Look at where it is now. It's 70%. That's a 16-point drop, John. And more than that, it's not just that Joe Biden is losing ground. It's that Donald Trump is gaining ground. You go from 7%, single digits at this point in 2020, to now 21%.
They're shocked, I tell you, shocked. Joey, was that CNN's Harry Enten?
Mm-hmm.
I have an entire Once again, we are on a weird Vulcan mind meld today. Joey found all these clips of stuff on his own unilaterally that Chris and I wanted to talk about today without even talking about it. That's how good we are. Yeah, CNN's Harry Enten left nearly speechless. Last week, we had What's-Her-Face on that other program that nobody watches, stunned that Americans are sick and tired of the illegal alien invasion. Holy Toledo, is reality biting the Biden administration in the behind? Let's talk to our next guest about that and more.
Oh, Suzy Q, baby, I love you. Suzy Q.
I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
That?
Yes, she is. She's at Smoozy Q on Twitter X. Of course, you can also find her as one of the editors and authors at redstate.com. Suzy, are people flooding to center-right media like Red State listening to News Talk STL? Because everybody knows what our bias is. We don't try to cover it. And oftentimes we try to give people the straight objective news and then give them our opinion. But we tell people what we're doing versus CNN. Now, Suzy is shocked that after years of all this propaganda, people just aren't buying what they're selling anymore. Suzy, they can't believe that black and brown voters are flooding to the Republican Party, especially for their support of Trump, and that illegal aliens, who then become legal at some point in time, Hispanic voters, also voting against the party with the donkey.
Yeah, I think some of what we're seeing, Tim, is the fact that, you know, we've talked about it before. The people that speak primarily on these networks, on their programs, their regular pundits and political analysts, all exist in a kind of a coastal bubble. They are all part of the affluent corridor. They all run in the same circles. And just like any of us, if the people that you talk to all view things similarly to you, you start buying into that and assuming that that's how everybody sees things, and that's just the way it is. And then when you see something that objectively goes against that, it's hard to process. So then you see, that's why you see the heads exploding on CNN and MSNBC as the rest of us rubes out here in America are like, hey, yeah, we don't like what's going on. We'd like to change things up, please.
Yeah, and Suzy, isn't it because, look, I shouldn't broad brush either party because there's rascals and scoundrels on both sides of the political aisle. Mm-hmm. But in general, people with a center-right freedom and liberty mentality, they don't care what color your skin is, right? We want policies that are good for everyone. Whereas on the left, they always have to cater to all this intersectionality, and they got to put everybody. I heard this young African American lady last week. She was interviewed. She goes, she's sick and tired of the Democratic Party putting her in these little race boxes. I love that phrase because it's true. They want to put you on the little electoral plantation. But Suzy, these numbers, President Trump has tripled his support among black voters from 7% in 2020 to 21%. Today, among black voters age 50 plus, Biden has dropped 9 points. Among black voters under the age of 50, Biden has nearly halved his support, dropping 43 points. Suzy, these are dramatic numbers. It's not just that Joe Biden's an old, confused fuddy-duddy, right? Isn't it also because maybe people are waking up to the fact that Democratic progressive policies don't work?
I think it's probably a combination of those things. I think if Joe Biden were, you know, young and energetic and charismatic and somebody who could really, you know, deliver a punchline, then he could maybe overcome some of those issues. But either way, when you've got, you know, inflation and immigration and crime and all of these issues staring you square in the face, it doesn't matter how charismatic the leader is. If that's not helping you, if you are basically saying you're drowning in debt and barely scraping by, you're not going to buy it. And I mean, it goes back to what James Carville said all those years ago. It's the economy, stupid. Of course, that's, you know, when everything's on the up and up, and people are allowed to vote their conscience and elections are held in fair and, you know, with integrity. So we have to kind of make sure that that's the case. But I think you're seeing a lot of people waking up to this and maybe breaking away from the traditional just sort of buying hook, line, and sinker what the legacy media is feeding them.
Mm-hmm. Susie, you got a ton of great stories up at redstate.com. I want to get through as many as I can here. This was a story, Susie, that I missed last week, and that's, folks, one of the many reasons you should check out redstate.com, because they report on so many things. I didn't realize, Susie, that Hunter Biden, who had filed a civil lawsuit against Rudy Giuliani, dismissed it last week. What was the reason for that, Susie, if you know, or if one was given? Or do you think Hunter's just got a few other more important things he's got to deal with over the next few months?
Yeah, I think given the timing of it, it's reasonable for people to assume that it was because he was found guilty in the gun trial last week. And one of the key pieces of evidence in that trial was, of course, the infamous laptop from hell. And that was the basis for his lawsuit against Giuliani and Robert Costello and a few others. So I think it's understandable that they would assume, oh, so he was found guilty, the government relied on the laptop, that kind of blows apart his claims against Giuliani and others. But I will say this, Giuliani filed for bankruptcy, in December, and the Biden legal team had advised the court several weeks before the trial that they were planning to enter this dismissal. It's a dismissal without prejudice, so it means they could refile the case.
Right.
I think part of it has to do with the fact that right now Giuliani is basically insolvent, and you can't really proceed with a civil case against somebody who's in bankruptcy until that all gets squared away. So it's a practical decision, and I don't think it was definitely made prior to the guilty verdict. Mm-hmm. So I think it has less to do with the laptop and the verdict than more to do with the practicalities of bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the laptop being real, authenticated as being real, may have been the final nail in the coffin, though. So
may very well have been.
Absolutely. Susie, another story you've got up at redstate.com. After the Department of Justice declined to prosecute Garland, boy, have you ever seen the Department of Justice, Susie, move faster? It's taken them 7 weeks, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase. It's taken them 7 years to prosecute Hunter Biden, but boy, they dismissed any potential claims against Garland in like 30 seconds before the ink was dry on the contempt motion. The House now has vowed to take the Biden audio issue. They want that audio tape out of the Ben-Hur interview deposition with Joe Biden. They're going to take it to court. Susie, do they have a leg to stand on? Are we ever going to get to hear Joe Biden mumble and fumble, likely mumble and fumble through his discussion with the special prosecutor?
They may have a leg to stand on, and the court may be the way to force it. Unfortunately, that, of course, slows things down. And so that may be something that just kind of gets sort of endlessly delayed. But I do think that they've got an argument there. you referred to the special counsel as Ben-Hur. I think it's Robert Hur.
Robert Hur. That was the movie, yeah.
That was the movie, right?
I just gave him a chariot. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, it is kind of like that. I mean, because some of this does seem like we're all in the Coliseum. And
it sure does.
Our champions are just duking it all out.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say is every time I write an article like this, readers, you know, they'll reach out and they'll say, oh, you know, another sternly worded letter, another shaking fist. And I get it. I totally understand the frustration, because we do see a lot of this sternly worded letter stuff that doesn't seem to result in a whole lot of actual, like, doesn't bear a lot of fruit. So I get that. But when you only have one half of one branch of the government under your control, you do have some degree of limitation in terms of what you can actually do. And I do think that they are doing what they can to not only shine light on some of these issues, but also push every legal angle that they can. And sometimes it's just a slow and frustrating process. You know, if you refer something to the DOJ and the DOJ says, nah, I don't think so, well, what are you supposed to do? You know, you don't have the presidency. You don't have any other levers of power other than potentially the courts. So I think that's the next best option. I know Ana Paulina Luna is going to try and bring the inherent contempt measure to the floor this week. And I don't know. Well, actually, I think the House is out this week. She's going to try and bring it to the floor, which would basically kind of do an end run around the DOJ. But my gut, and you know this because you served in the legislature and you've been up at the swamp, and you know, my gut is that there will not be support in the House to actually have like the sergeant of arms go haul Merrick Garland in before the House because of the drama that's going to ensue with that. So I don't know if that's going to go anywhere or not. We may have to wait on the courts. And I think ultimately the courts will probably say, hey, look, you already waived executive privilege. You already turned over the transcript. There's really no reason not to turn over the audio, but that'll probably be after the election.
Susie, is this another example of the two-tier system of justice that we've seen under the Biden administration, the banana republicanization of our country, whereas Steve Bannon and other Trump-era officials, they get prosecuted and go to jail for these civil contempt matters, but people like Merrick Garland just get to thumb their nose at them?
I think there's some of that going on here, but I want to point a couple of things out. You can look at Merrick Garland, you can look at Eric Holder and say, well, look, you know, the head honcho at the DOJ miraculously got held in contempt by Congress, but still had no repercussions. But that also was true of Bill Barr in 2019. So I can understand why the agency itself may be in a kind of conflicted situation where they're not going to go out of their way to take up a criminal referral on literally the guy that heads up their agency. With Bannon and with Navarro, both of whom, I think there's a strong argument there that they were being treated differently, particularly because of their association with Trump. But at least in Bannon's case, Trump never formally invoked executive privilege over his testimony. And so I think that there might be some procedural differences there they're not going to matter to most people, and I get it. But there might be some legal arguments there that actually make a distinction, even though I still think that both Navarro and Bannon were gone after because of their affiliation with
Trump. Yeah, Susie, I guess my problem is DOJ discretion here always seems to favor the Democrats.
Yeah, and I think DOG might be a good acronym.
Yeah. I'm making all kinds of correct Freudian slips today, aren't I?
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's the discretion, and you're seeing it it's exercised in a way that almost always seems to inure to the benefit of the Democrats. And it's maddening. But, you know, like I said, when you only have one half of one branch, you got to use the tools that you have at your disposal as best you can until you can get more of the government under your power. We kind of are in this holding pattern until that changes.
I guess my problem, it shouldn't be that way, right? You just kind of proved my point. This is the political weaponization of the DOJ. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the problem.
Absolutely.
Well, Susie, this next story you have, this really, I did see this one, and then I saw you wrote about it, which is fantastic. By the way, folks, we're speaking to Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor at Red State, redstate.com. She's frequently found here throughout the week on many of our programs, plus the more to the point commentary. Susie, Hunter Biden's legal team filed a motion for a new trial in his crack cocaine felony gun trial matter conviction, and then they abruptly rescinded that motion. Susie, what's going on here? I mean, I know this is, I know, just so folks know, I understand this is a standard. This is a very standard practice. You always file a motion for new trial in a civil or criminal case. If it goes against you, it's hardly ever granted. But I found it interesting, Susie, that they wouldn't just go through the motions on this. What did you learn? What is your conjecture on this?
Yeah, that's all it is right now is conjecture, because they're not out of time to file their motion for new trial. What happened was this morning they filed a motion for new trial that seemed to hinge on saying, hey, you know what? We appealed some of Judge Marieka's decisions to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And even though the Third Circuit Court of Appeals denied our request because they basically said, hey, you're in the middle of the case, we're going to wait till the end of the case to take this issue up, they didn't formally transfer the case or mandate the case back down to the trial court level. So she may not have even had proper jurisdiction when you tried this whole case. It's a really interesting technicality type argument. But what happened was they filed it this morning and then they almost immediately withdrew it. And I can only speculate as to one of two possibilities, but it could be something totally different. I think at some point we will find out. My speculation was this. Either they filed it thinking that they were being really clever and cute, and somebody either in the, maybe even from the prosecution or from the court said, hey, dummies, here's why that's not going to fly. You might want to reconsider, filing that, and they thought better of it and took it off there. Or they were so eager to get that on file, they forgot and didn't include all the other grounds that they may be moving for a new trial on. And so they decided, wait, let's just wait and do this all in one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. Again, it's speculation. They're going to file a motion for a new trial. it just, whether it's going to have this technical argument in it or whether that's going to be the only basis on which they're moving for a new trial remains to be seen. But it was weird. I mean, those of us who've been watching this really closely,
yes,
it's there and now it's gone.
Yes.
What happened?
Very bizarre. Well, adding to the bizarro land nature of all of this lawfare of 2020. Mm-hmm. This is why you don't engage in this on either side in the first place. Susie, finally, mm-hmm, the more to the point commentary. I don't even need to ask you about who you're referring to, do I, when I ask you, what was the subject of "The Lights Aren't Even On"?
Yeah, I mean, there's just been so much of it lately. So many of these videos, the non-cheap fakes, the actual videos that we're watching with our actual eyes, and instances of Joe Biden just really, really struggling. And you know, there's that old thing, the lights are on, but nobody's home. And I was like, no, we're at the point now where the lights aren't even on. I mean, it's not even like you can make a, you know, a show of it. He's just really, really, really showing his age. Well, I shouldn't even say showing his age. There are plenty of 81-year-olds who are perfectly spry and capable.
Bernie Sanders.
He's just not one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not one of them.
Look, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, yeah. Chuck Grassley. Well, we could go on and on.
She's kind of starting to get his daughter. Well, she's starting to show it.
Yeah, but she's kind of a fun drunk, you know?
She is. She is. And, but with Joe, we've all watched people that we love and care about decline. And when they get to a point where everyone's kind of leading them around by the arm and you're kind of steadying them and you're kind of watching out for them, it's because they need that assistance. Mm-hmm. That's not the person that needs to be leading the country or the free world. And it's just blatantly obvious. And it's really disturbing, not only from a political standpoint, because, you know, yeah, I've got a bias against this administration because I disagree with pretty much everything they're doing. But it's horrifying as an American citizen to watch our so-called leader being so feeble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could not agree with you more. Amen to that. That'll be the final word on that for today. In the meantime, you can check out everything Susie's got going on at redstate.com, at Smoozy Q on Twitter X. And as I mentioned, you can hear her throughout the week here at News Talk STL. Susie, thanks so much for the great insight and analysis. Great to speak with you as always. We'll talk to you again next Monday, if not before.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great night.
You too as well. 5:45 in the p.m. No, Chris did not fall down underneath the counter from heat stroke. He's heading down to that event in Jefferson County that Mike Ferguson is helping MC this evening. They're having a gigantic, ginormous candidate forum in Jeffco. Mike Ferguson's going to be down there. You'll see Chris and Becky Yarps and the entire gang. So if you're in Jeffco, I'm going to try to get the details on in the break here. And when we come back, I'm going to nerd out a little bit. Joey, are you a Game of Thrones guy at all? Have you watched any of the series over the last 10 years?
I went to a watch party because I told there'd be snacks, and I've seen that one episode.
And dragons.
I'm sure dragons are cool.
Yes, very cool indeed. I'm going to nerd out about the rise of House Targaryen when we come back, and sort of the echoes of today that we see in season 2, which I started watching last night, and it's absolutely fantastic. All that more when we come back, plus everything that's coming up on Larry Connors USA at 6:05. The Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show rolls on at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
President Trump, I'm so humbled that you would be here. President Obama never came to the hood, so to speak, right? President Joe Biden, he went to the big NAACP dinner, but he never came to the hood. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
My honor.
Never came to the hood. Well, Donald Trump went to... Donald Trump's like, now that he's been... Now that he's Donald Trump unchained and he doesn't have to sit in a New York City. See, that was the whole, folks, do you understand now the entire reason for the trial? They didn't care if justice prevailed. The Democrats, the left, the media, the Department of Justice. Yes. The federal Department of Justice was involved. You know, I heard, speaking of Larry Connors, he has this fellow on once in a while. He's a former congressman, a very moderate Republican guy named John Laboutier. And Larry has him on, so guys like me like get angry and pull our hair out and listen to Larry more. You know, he's very clever, that Larry Connors. Want to hear what he's got to say next. And Laboutier was trying to, he was arguing with Larry a couple weeks ago about, because Larry was like, the Department of Justice was involved. Laboutier's like, no, they weren't. Yes, they were. Matthew Colangelo. Okay, so let me ask you folks this. If you're the number three guy at the Department of Justice, like you've reached like nearly the pinnacle of your career, are you going to then Are you going to then resign from that job and go back and work in a crappy little courtroom in New York City for Alvin Bragg? Heck no. But that's what Colangelo did. So the Department of Justice was involved in the trial. They didn't care about justice and the American way, law and order. They wanted a conviction and they wanted a time up in the courtroom. They don't care if the whole thing gets overturned on appeal. It's backfired on them magnificently. So Donald Trump now going everywhere, doing everything, and I couldn't be happier. Hey, speaking of Larry Connors, before we run out of time here, I probably should tell you what he's got coming up next. Here it is. Larry Connors USA for June 17th. Detroit pastor says something to Trump he never said to Biden. We just gave you a little teaser on that. I think Larry's going to play more of the clip there. VP candidates for Trump. Ooh, I'm going to listen to this. Who's in the lead? Who's Larry thinks in the lead for the VP spot? And new Biden ad targeting Trump conviction. Will it work? They're spending bazillions of dollars. It doesn't seem to be moving the needle. But we've got a long way to go. 5:55 in the PM. We're about to wrap things up. Head you over to Larry Connors USA. Joey and I were talking in the break here about House of Dragon Season 2. This is the prequel to the original Game of Thrones series. Joey, you were saying you went to a watch party, but maybe you don't care so much except the dragon scenes are cool.
I have not paid attention to Game of Thrones at all, but my girl's family is obsessed with it. My mom, she loves it. She had Dragoon, as we call it, on the other day when we were there for Mother's Day, so she's into it. I just haven't given it the time. I'm sorry. But I know you're excited. Tell me what you saw last night.
Well, it's pretty cool. I only saw the first 15, 20 minutes. I started it way too late, and I was about to fall asleep. My lovely wife, Suzanne, said time to go to bed, so I did. But it started off really great. Critics say, Joey, the second season of HBO's Game of Thrones prequel series thoughtfully explores the horrors of war. Boy, isn't that echoes up to today's headlines. In equally bloody and intimate detail with standout performances, Joey, and explosive dragon action. So what's not to like about that, right?
You know, we should auction off somebody's HBO Max password so they can get into it. 10th caller right now will give you Chris's HBO Max password.
Why don't we do that at the debate watch party?
Yeah, actually. Of course.
We'll do that in short order indeed. And Joey, the Tony Awards, Vic watched them. I didn't. I don't think you did as well. We're not much into that.
I checked in on the winners. Looked like Daniel Radcliffe won one, Mr. Harry Potter himself.
Okay.
It looks like it was kind of rehashing old stuff, whether it's a revival or an old movie like Outsiders. A lovely film with Tom Cruise and Rob Lowe. I think that won a bunch of awards. And then one of these other revivals, Merrily We Go Along, that won a bunch of awards as well. I want to see some fresh stuff, though.
Mm-hmm. There's your arts, culture, and entertainment update. We all did all that in about 3 minutes. And finally, your sports report. St. Louis Cardinals, 35-35. Is that right? They played 70 games already? My goodness. 500 baseball, lone second place in the Central Division because the division sucks. But go Cards. Let's keep rocking and rolling. Keep hope alive. Larry Connors, USA, next on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9-94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.